Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad that you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
So it's my honour this morning to introduce to you again our senior pastor. You know, Pastor Jason and Pastor Trina are an amazing couple. They're faithful, they're hardworking, they love you, they love our church, they sacrifice enormously for the well-being, the spiritual well-being of you guys and you guys online too. So know this, that you have pastors, senior pastors that love you very much and they are absolutely dedicated to your well-being physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually in every area of your life. So it's my honour this morning as we welcome up and give them a big, big, big cheer. If you were at the footy going for Collingwood, Pastor Jason, here he comes.
Thank you, Mark Waite. Thank you so much, bro. Praise God. Welcome. How is everybody? How's everyone on site? Yeah? And great to have everyone online as well. I want to give just some shout outs. And I want to give a shout out to April Pilts because it's her 40th birthday today. Let's give her a big hand. Happy birthday, April. I also want to give a shout out to Philippa Mamuni in Melbourne. Let's give her a hand of encouragement. Come on. Woo! I also just want to give a shout out to my East Aubrey hood. We've got Tony and Christy there, and I was speaking to Tony last night, and they're having a watch party. So thank God that we can get together, yeah, and have watch parties. So they've got Cody and Jess there, Hannah and Chad, whoop, whoop, and Beck and Robbie as well. They're there as well. Yeah, so there you go. So praise God. And Cody, don't worry, mate. Social distancing restrictions will continue to lift, and it won't be too long, my friends, since until we can embrace. Cody's looking forward to that. Everyone go, ah. Everyone go, ah, again, because he's looking forward to that. It's going to be fantastic. And so we've got our 11:30 a.m. Virtual foyer today, and I'm going to be interviewing a new family to Gateway. It's the Flanagan family, and I'm going to get Jeff and Ina and the family on the platform. They're going to talk about, you know, what's blessed them, you know, in recent times and in today's service. It's going to be fantastic. Well, I'm going to get into my message. I'm going to dive in. And I'm going to begin with a story, but before we do that, I'm going to pray. Are you ready to pray? Okay, people are going like this. We're going to dive into prayer and then into the Word. So, Father, we say thank you so much for this opportunity to get together, and I pray for every single person who is on site, and I pray for every single person on the line. And I pray and thank you that you will speak to us, and that you will stir us up in our faith, and that you will actually deposit gifts of faith into each one of our hearts, given to believe for that miracle, for that breakthrough, and for this mountain to be removed. I thank you, Lord, that you're with everyone today, and that you would comfort them and strengthen them and encourage them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to begin with the story, and the story goes: on a consumer flight from Portland to Boston in the summer of 1987, the pilot heard an unusual noise at the rear of the aircraft. A fellow, the pilot's name was Henry Dempsey. And so he turned the controls over to his co-pilot and he went back to check it out. As he reached the tail section of the plane hit an air pocket. You know, so that's like when, you know, you hit an air pocket, the plane drops, okay? And so Dempsey was tossed against the rear door, and he quickly discovered the source of the mysterious noise. The rear door had not been properly latched prior to takeoff, and it fell open, which instantly sucked Dempsey out of the plane. Bummer. Yeah. That sucks to be him, if you know what I'm saying. It would be fair to say that, you know, there are times and that life just does not seem fair, right? Like getting sucked out of a plane. The story goes on. The co-pilot saw the red light on the control panel, which indicated an open cabin door. So he radioed the nearest airport, requesting permission to make an emergency landing, and also reported that Dempsey was no longer on board the aircraft. It's like a polite way of putting it, isn't it? He's no longer here. He got sucked out. And so they requested that a helicopter be dispatched to search that area of the ocean. After the plane had landed, the ground crew found Henry Dempsey holding on to the outdoor ladder of the aircraft. Somehow he had caught the ladder when falling out and managed to hold on for over 10 minutes as the plane flew 321 kilometers an hour, or I think that's 200 miles an hour, at an altitude of 4,000 feet. And according to the news reports, it took a number of minutes for the ground crew to pry Henry's fingers from the ladder. Wow, we like, what? What an amazing, excuse the pun, ride. It's incredible. But today, I really feel to talk about the blessings of endurance. This is the word that the Holy Spirit has put on my heart. The title of my message today is The Blessings of Endurance. And I just really feel that I have it in my heart to congratulate all of you who are here on site today. Congratulate all of those who are online, continuing to tune in. I want to say well done for enduring. Good on you for standing your ground and not being moved. You know, I was saying to someone, I've been saying this a fair bit recently, but I was saying to someone just recently that, you know, outside pressure has a way of really revealing what's on the inside of us. It has a way, the outside, the external pressure has a way of revealing what's on the inside of you. It's a really great indicator. And I, you know, having something that's revealed on the inside of me is not something that I'm afraid of. I said to someone recently, actually, I know who it was, but I won't mention their names. I'm like, hey, if I go to the doctor and the doctor says, you've got something foreign in your body, something that ought not to be in there and it needs to come out, I'm like, let's get it out. What person in their right mind says, hey, don't worry about it, it'll be fine, and let's just continue on with life? If there's something on the inside that needs to be dealt with, let's deal with it. Let's repent of it, get it right, be reconciled back to God and continue to move forward. Okay? So I want to talk about the blessings of endurance. But again, just want to say to you, well done you. Well done you for sticking this out. Hey, I know it hasn't been easy, but that's okay. Okay? On the other side of endurance is blessings. You know, there's many qualities that I believe that are attributed to someone's success. Okay, someone does not become successful just by chance. It takes a number of, you know, intentional steps, and you got to possess a number of qualities that help you to succeed. So there's a number of qualities that attribute to someone's success, but the quality of endurance, holding on, is at the forefront of any champion's journey. You know, and that's the thing that inspires us when it comes to people like Shane Lentham. When I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, you know, because we know his story. I won't go into it right now, but we celebrate that. We cheer that on because that inspires us. You know, endurance is defined as the ability to hold on during a difficult process or situation without giving up. You know, one of the things that I felt the Holy Spirit drop in my heart when we first planted our church was this statement, you know, that success is holding on when others chose to let go. That's like one definition of success. And in the faith life, in our spiritual walk with Jesus, God considers the quality of endurance as one of the paramount keys for the character development of his people, for the people's blessings, and ultimately for being saved eternally with Christ in heaven. In actual fact, the Apostle Paul spoke about the gateway to character development. You want to grow in your character, yeah? Because our goal, yes, is to be like Jesus. We want to be like Jesus when it comes to our love, when it comes to serving others, when it comes to our humility, when it comes to preferring others, when it comes to forgiving others and showing compassion and mercy and sacrifice and things like that. That's who we want to be like. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul wrote that the gateway to character development is found in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. And it says, "But we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces proven character." Proven character, not just character, but demonstrated character, right? James, the Apostle James, he knew that enduring temptation was the mandatory key and gateway for inheriting God's promises and blessings when he wrote in James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, "Blessed is the man or the one who endures temptation, because having stood the test and the trial, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." When tempted, we all get tempted, amen? When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own desires and enticed. I love this passage. This passage says, "Blessed is the one who endures temptation." Blessing is on the other side of enduring temptation. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, perhaps when you think about temptation, you might primarily think about, you know, looking at the wrong things on the internet. You might consider that temptation is not yielding to any kind of, you know, sexual immorality or things like that. And perhaps you feel that that is really what temptation is all about. But temptation is also resisting the desire to gossip. Temptation is also resisting the temptation to slander another person, to speak ill of them, to criticize them, or to judge them to another. Because, you know, when people criticize others, judge others, want to make others feel small, it's because they themselves feel small. It's because they themselves want to feel big and not so insecure. So temptation is just not about resisting, sexual immorality. It has to do with resisting, even disobedience, just anything that represents disobedience to God. We're going to park here just for a little bit when it comes to temptation, because I want to see people grow in their spiritual awareness, especially when it comes to the temptations and the tricks of the devil, because the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, he said, "Lest Satan take advantage and outsmart us, for we are not unaware of the devil's plans, devices, and traps." But the reality is this, that I see way too many people walking straight into the devil's traps, personally speaking. I see this way too often. It's almost like, you know, so many people can be like a slow moving target for the enemy just to pop them off. And so I want to help us today to become more spiritually enlightened, to become more aware personally and when it comes to the devil's ways. And so, in case you don't know, Satan always uses the same three-step temptation program today that he used all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Okay, we're going to take a look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6 in a moment. But number one, his first step is this. He asks questions that bring about doubts and suspicions. That's his first step. The second step is that he makes a suggestion to bring about deception. We're going to take a look at this in a moment. Number three, he also wants to appeal to the fires, as it were, of your desires, which carried out brings us into disobedience and spiritual death. Okay, so this is what he wants to do. Let's take a look at the launch of Satan's three-step temptation program, which he launched all the way back in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. So we're going to just run through this and unpack it as we go. So it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he asked," here we go, first step of the program, the temptation program. "He asked the woman a question. He said, 'Has God indeed said to you that you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?' And the woman said," in other words, the woman replied to the devil. First mistake, people, don't talk to the devil. Your best tactic for warfare against the enemy is to ignore him. Ignore him. Don't get in a conversation. If the devil ever begins to remind you of your past or point the finger at you or accuse you for something that you've done, the only thing that you should say in reply is remind him of his future. If the devil reminds you of your past, just remind him of his future, and it's the end of the conversation. And the thing that he does want you to do is to engage in your head in a conversation with him, because he knows that the day and the hour, the moment you begin to engage with him, you're disconnected from the source, the life source, the author, the perfecter, and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. So he wants to disrupt that. He wants to disturb the spiritual line, okay? So just ignore it. Just ignore it. "And the woman said, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, don't eat it. The day you touch it, you'll die.' Then the serpent said," point number two, step number two in his temptation program, he makes a statement, he makes a suggestion to bring about deception. He says, "You will not surely die." That's the suggestion. "For God knows that in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the woman, now he's appealing to the fire of her desire, right? The devil knows what your desires are, both good and evil, and he wants to appeal to our evil desires so that we are dragged away by our own desires and enticed. So now he's appealing to the fire of her desire. And it says that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, in other words, it was eye candy, right? It was eye candy. When she saw that it looked good, right? And that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then it says in the next verse that both of their eyes were opened. They think, what? What the heck? What's that? What's that right there? I don't know what that is. It's like I saw it before, but now I'm seeing it again, and it looks different right now. And so what they did, they covered themselves up, right? And they ran and hid from God, and then they played the blame game, and that's what mankind has been doing ever since the fall. And so temptation, it starts in the mind. It begins on the inside, but most people externalize it, which takes the responsibility off of themselves as they hold someone else accountable for what they think and for what they feel. For example, some might say, well, if that, you know, pornography site was not on the internet, then I would not be tempted to, you know, to go to my computer, log in, go here, go there, click there, go on a bit of a journey and get to that website if it were not there, right? But we know that we can't externalize temptation. We've got to internalize it. Jesus said, where do these things come from? They don't come from the outside. They come from within you. And like I say, this is when, hey, don't be condemned if something like that pops up. Just say, oh, okay, that's there. All right, I still need Jesus. And so I'm going to lean in now, deal with that, repent, move on, and just know what to do. Okay. You know, when I was a young Christian, I actually felt really condemned when I got tempted. You know, I had this great, you know, love for Jesus, still do. And when I would get tempted to do the wrong thing, I'd think, oh, I'm such a terrible person. Why have I got this temptation? What is this? I'm a lover of Jesus. I shouldn't have these desires, right? I'd get really condemned. And the devil would then go, you know, ah, see, you know, you don't love God. You got these wrong desires. I'm like, yeah, I have. But I was deceived. But see, temptation is not sin. Having the desire to do the wrong thing is not sin. It's yielding to the desire where sin takes place. Sin is like, you know, knowing what the will of God is and not doing it. So temptation, it takes place in the mind. Remember the words of James. Each one is tempted when they are dragged away by their own desires, okay? And transformation, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it begins by changing and renewing our minds. That's where it begins. Changing and renewing our minds. Transformation is the result of, number one, knowing the truth of God's word. And number two, holding on to that truth until God's will is done. Number one, know the truth. Number two, hold on to the truth for as long as it takes. Somebody once asked me, well, how long should I wait? I'm like, well, what's it worth to you? What is doing God's will worth to you? But see, the thing is this, when it gets tough, that's where it gets exciting. Anyone who does any form of exercise or goes to the gym knows that the first 7 to 8 reps are really just a warm-up to get to the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th, where you really struggle to lift that weight. That's where the blessing really is. Hebrews chapter 10, I want to give you lots of scripture. Verse 36 says, for you have need of endurance. You have need of endurance. You've got to endure. Is it tough? Is it tough for you at the moment? I'm like, that's okay. And I said to somebody during the week, you know, this is what you prayed for. They're like, it's really tough. It's like, well, this is what you prayed for. Well, I don't like this and I don't like that, you know, what I'm going through. Well, this is what you prayed for. Praise God, if you go through this the right way, you're going to come out the other side blessed. Blessed are they who endure the test and the trial. But personally, as a Christian, I'm not even speaking as a pastor now. As a Christian, I see way too many people checking out way too early. And I'm like, now you've got to sit that test again. Yeah, you'll go elsewhere. Yeah, you'll balk this or that and do what you got to do to get away from the heat. But God's faithful to producing Christ in you. Remember, Christ is not an addition. He's not something that we wear on a shirt. It's not an addition. Christ is not an addition. Our life is an exchange for His life. Yeah, well, we die and He lives in us all the more. John chapter 8, Jesus said in verses 31 and 32, to those who believed in Him, Jesus said, if you hold on to my teaching, then you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hey, the good news is this. Are you ready for the good news? Woo! This is going to be good. You want to take down this note if that you're taking notes. The good news is this, that this means that you can have change in any area of your life. This is the good news. You can change. You don't have to be the same. I'm happy to say, to the glory of God, that in these last 3 months, this whole COVID-19 season, I've just gone through one revolution to the next. But you can change in any area of your life. Who said you had to stay the same? Providing that you know what the truth says and that you apply it until it works. You work it, right? You work it till it works. But at the end of the day, you know, Satan wants you and I, he wants us to doubt the truth of God's word. He wants us to doubt God's word and get this. This is what he wants you to do. He wants you to not only doubt God's word, but he wants to get you to believe that what you think and what you feel is the truth. That's what he wants to do. And this is why he brings doubts with questions and deceptions through suggestions that appeal to our own fire of desire, right? Do you notice how I kind of made that rhyme, really, didn't I? I don't know. It just sort of came from me. It's a good thing. But he wants to make us believe that what we're thinking and what we're feeling is the right thought and way. However, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 55 verses 8 to 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." So at the end of the day, doesn't matter who you are, you can go your way if you want, okay? And we're still going to love you. You go your way, right? And but it'll cost you. You go your way, it'll cost you, or you can go God's way and it'll cost you. Your way will cost you, God's way will cost you. But my Bible tells me that there's only one way that leads to eternal life. So it's going to cost us no matter which way we go, but one way leads to life, the other leads to death. As I begin to conclude my message today, I just want to just drop just a few thoughts. Hopefully these will encourage you. I just want to say that when temptation or your past calls, don't pick up. Just don't pick up. Just don't pick up. Why is that? Because it has nothing new to say. It's got nothing new to say. Eve engaged in a conversation. That was the beginning of the fall. I just want to say that one of your best tactics for spiritual warfare is that when the devil comes knocking, don't answer the door, don't pick up the call, just ignore it. Just ignore it. My sheep hear my voice and another they don't follow. If you're looking for a breakthrough, I've got good news for you today. You can have one. You can have one. You want a breakthrough in your life, right? You can have one. But just know that breakthroughs only happen when you seek them, when you're desperate for them, and when you're ready for something to break. Until you're ready for something to break, you will not have a breakthrough. Let me tell you what you possibly will do. You will just go from place to place. And wherever you go, there you are. Wherever you go in the world, there you are. You might go into a new relationship. You might go into this or into that. But don't be surprised if the same issues follow you, because you're the issue. The mindset, the pattern of thinking is the issue. A breakthrough is only for those who are ready for something to break. And I believe that just some of the things that need to break are, number one, our pride. Our pride needs to break. Our own ways need to break. And the ego, you got to keep transcending the ego. David cried out in Psalm 18, verse 6, he said, "In my distress," right? If you're distressed, "in my distress," he said, "I called to the Lord. I cried," he's in a bad place, "I cried to my God for help. From his temple," it says, "he heard my voice. My cry came before him and into his ears." He got the breakthrough. You know, there's many circumstances in life that are just unavoidable, like the loss of loved ones. There are some things that take place in life that we didn't ask for, like getting sucked out of a plane. No one asks for that. Disappointments are certain. Obstacles are sure. There'll be many wins and many losses that will occur. But the person with the spirit of endurance will convert impossibilities into possibilities, tests into testimonies, and transform roadblocks into stepping stones.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. For more information, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. God bless and have a great day.